This week's parasha, we learn about Al Pi HaGorol Yecholek Aretz. Through the Gorol shall the earth be divided. So what I'd like to talk about as a takeoff on this topic is what is called the Gorol Hagra. Did anyone ever hear of the Gorol Hagra?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the Gorol Hagra. Now the reason why I'm so fascinated in this moment with the Gorol Hagra is because, first I have a sefer. I got the sefer many years ago called Gorol Hagra. It's a fantastic sefer. Mechaber of the sefer is Zev Greenwald. Okay, Zev Greenwald. It's dense. There's an enormous amount of material in this sefer. I can't go through even a fraction of it today. Not that I know any of it anyway. Just want to touch upon some ideas. But the reason why the Gorol Hagra is a very timely topic is because it's been in the news last few weeks. Now, before I tell you being in the news last week, let me just give you a little background. When I spent some time on this sefer, it's very interesting that the Gorol Hagra was used throughout the ages. There are many stories. This book has many, many stories about the Gorol Hagra. And many of those stories involve a situation where parents came to a gadol and said their child is missing. And they don't know what to do. They don't know where to look, where to go, what to do. And what should they do? So they asked the gadol to do for them the Gorol Hagra, to find the pasuk in the Torah, which will give them guidance as to where their child is. So as you can imagine, a week ago, during those difficult 18 days when the three boys were missing, people went to Gedolim and asked them to make a Gorol Hagra, to give them, the IDF, or the civilians, some direction in knowing where to look, what to do. Shocking. I mean, there's a precedent for this. So believe it or not, there was an article in Ami magazine 2 weeks ago by by Moshe Taub. Moshe Taub was a rav. He's a very young man. He's a rav in Canada. I'm not sure if Montreal or Toronto. Okay, but he's a rav in Canada, and he has a column in Ami magazine, and he had this fantastic article about what happened. All the details. People approach of Chaim Kanievsky, a group of people, they went to Chaim Kanievsky and they asked him that if Chaim Kanievsky should make a Gorol Hagra to give them direction where to look for the three boys. Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, to make a Gorol Hagra, you need Ruach HaKodesh. You just can't make a Gorol Hagra, and I don't have Ruach HaKodesh, and I'm not making a Gorol Hagra. The fact is, in this sefer, he has a lot about his father. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is the son of the Stipler. Yeah. And the Stipler was very against the Gorol Hagra. Yeah. Years ago, it was very common. People were making the Gorol Hagra right and left. A lot of stories, especially during World War II.
Made the Gorol Hagra decide whether to go to Russia during the war or not.
Many stories of the Gorol Hagra. People years ago did it right and left, and at that point in time,
what's involved in the Gorol?
Oh, I'm going to discuss it. Basically, you're doing some technique where you're going to find the pasuk. You're going to find the pasuk in the Torah that will give you direction, give you a response to your question. The Stibler was against the Gorol Hagra. It seems that he never did it, and he told people not to do it. He quoted the pasuk, "Tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha." The Chazon Ish was also very much against the Gorol Hagra. He felt people in this generation, not on the Madrega, to just flip around the Chumash and to come up with a pasuk, and the pasuk will tell you what to do. Rav Chaim Kanievsky said that to make the Gorol Hagra, you need Ruach HaKodesh, and he doesn't have Ruach HaKodesh, and therefore he's not going to do it. But if you want, he says, go to Rav Steinman. You heard this? You ready?
Yes.
Go to Rav Steinman. So they went to Rav Steinman. Rav Steinman left.
He told them the whole story.
Where Chaim said, you need Ruach HaKodesh. Rav Steinman said, he left, he says, it's funny that someone thinks that I have Ruach HaKodesh. And he didn't make the Gorol Hagra. However, probably the most famous Gorol Hagra, which he has here in great detail in this sefer, and it's printed in Rav Aryeh Levine, the Tzaddik of our times, was when Rav Aryeh Levine did the Gorol Hagra to identify the bodies of 12 soldiers that were killed defending Gush Etzion. this goes back, how many years ago? 60 years? 48, the War of Independence. The War of Independence, they were a group of boys, they could not identify their remains, and he dug the Golan Grah, and it was Mala Mederech HaTeva. The Psukim clearly identified each casket which name represented which body, the guf. So they went, so then it was reported, there was a room there, Binyamin El Yashiv. Binyamin El Yashiv is a grandson, all these families, they're all married to one another. Binyamin El Yashiv is the grandson of Rav Aryeh Levine. And it was reported that he did the Golan Grah to give some direction as to where to look for the boys. So the author of this column, Rabbi Moshe Taub, contacted, he lives in Canada, he contacted Rav Binyamin El Yashiv, and he asked if it's true. Did you do the Golan Grah? So first he wanted to know, I don't want to just give out this information to the Hamoinam, you're writing for, he told me, writing for a magazine. Is it a magazine that's going to be read by B'nai Torah? It should be misunderstood. Yeah, this is for B'nai Torah, really? Okay. It's for B'nai Torah. And so he told him, yeah, he did the Golan Grah. And again, this was during the time when the boys were not yet found. The Hamoinam did not yet know. And he says, so what's the Pasuk? So he told him the Pasuk. So I don't see any interpretation in the pasuk, but there's a pasuk in Shoftim, in Perek Tes Vav, pasuk Yudalid. The subject of the pasuk is Shimshon, Huva Ad Lechi. Shimshon came to this city called Lechi, Uflishtim Heiriu Likraso, and the Plishtim came forth. They came out. They shouted towards him. As he came forward, the Plishim shouted, "Vatitzlach olav ruach Hashem," and upon Shimshon passed the Spirit of God. "Vatiyena ho'avosim asher al ziroyah." So he was tied up in chains, and these chains or these bands, these ropes, these ropes that kept him. He was tied up at this point in time. It became kapishtim, like flax, asher boharu va'esh, that were burnt in fire, vayimasu asurav miyal yadov, and these bands melted from upon his hands. Now, if you ask me, a simple person like me, I don't see in this pasuk any clue whatsoever to resolve, to give direction to people looking what to do, where they are. They got excited. It's with Lechi, according to some opinions. I'm not familiar with the Mefarshim, that Lechi alludes to Hebron. That was a very big question. Were the boys in Hebron? Were the boys taken to Gaza? Were the boys taken to Jordan? Were they taken to Egypt? Even Iran? No one knew what happened. So they got excited. It said Lechi. Lechi means that they at least they can shut down Hebron and they can find the boys. Listen, after the fact, we know the boys were not living. What does this pasuk mean? That's all part of the problem. I think this. I mean, he got very excited. Says, I don't know all the details, but I think this story really illustrates the issue. Is that in our day and age, by and large, the Golan Grah doesn't really work. Okay, it's not for me to say about Binyamin El Yashiv, a very holy person, but for the Hamoinam, unless you have an interpretation of what this means, the only thing that struck out at me is what the Mitzuda says. The Mitzuda says, in hindsight, it's frightening to me. Okay, what's frightening to me is it says, V'shavu ha'avoysim ha'shal z'roysav eitzel gvuroso kipishtim ha'shabar bo'esh bo'ofen shenidmolo ki'ilu. The Hashem's spirit passed upon him. Ki'ilu nimsu asurav me'al yadov. The bands melted. They melted. Ki'iloi nitztarech l'koyach margish. He did not need any strength. L'natek ho'avosim. To loosen the bands. So when I read this right away, this said, like, basically the pasuk was telling you, there's nothing to do. It's too late. In hindsight, I mean, you can say that in hindsight, but that doesn't mean anything in hindsight. The question was at the time, what should we do at the time? And you can probably read into the pasuk anything that you possibly want. Go look to the mefarshim, whatever has meaning to you. You'll hear in the pasuk whatever you want to hear in the pasuk. Okay, this, it's not without precedent. Rav Binyamin El Yashiv did this. He was the grandson of Aryeh Levine. Rav Aryeh Levine is famous for doing this. And if you read this book, The Golan Grah, they have here probably 100 stories of The Golan Grah. And many of them involve exactly this situation. Goral Hagra. Goral Hagra. It's fantastic. It's available. This is a popular sefer. It's available.
So what is this
going on? I don't want to discuss. I just want to bring out that it's not like he did something that's so outrageous, because the old generation did this all the time. And one of the times they did this, that was very common when you read the stories, was not a question where to go, was when a person was missing. A child got lost, a child is missing, a family member is missing, and that really eats up a person. You don't know what to do. It's not a halachic matter. It's a question of what to do, where to look, not to look, to go look, where to look. And it was done. There is a very strong precedent to make a goral hagra when people are missing. And indeed, they made the goral hagra. This is the pasuk. What does the pasuk mean? I don't know. I don't see any clear interpretation of the pasuk.
That's where the Ruach HaKodesh comes in.
Well, sometimes it's so obvious. So, very good. So let's discuss this thing called the girl. The truth is, now that's what the Hagdama the Sefer. Let's just discuss a few short things.
The big rabbi, they cannot understand from this book. How simple people can use it.
We don't. The Gedolim today very strongly discourage using the girl Hagra. Very strongly discourage any type of girl. Today we're not on a level to do a girl Hagra. Now let's just discuss this few pratim. We'll just a few small things. First of all, for some reason it's attributed to the gra. But we know for a fact that this method, this technique of slipping a chumash, and I'll just tell you the technique in a few moments, goes back at least 200 years before the gra. Okay, it goes back to a person. I can't remember all the details. I wrote down some things, but it's going to slow me down. There was a person, a very holy leader. His name was, can't even find it. Okay, let me just give you the basic gist of the story. He was a very Talmud Chacham, he lived during the time of the Beis Yosef. Okay, so that's going back to the Beis Yosef was the 17th century. No, the Beis Yosef was, what was the Beis Yosef earlier? Okay, it was the 15th century, 16th century. Zudan, 15th, 16th century, and there was a famine. There was a drought in Eretz Yisrael. Gesundheit, and there was literally starvation. And this the Rav of the community who lived, it was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef, he was Goyzer at Tzoyma fast. Everyone had a fast for a number of days, and at the end of the fast, he got up and he gave Musar to all of the people. And he knew the sins of certain individuals, and he gave everyone Musar, and most of the people were Makabel the Musar. He then called the tax collectors, who he felt were really guilty of certain crimes, and he gave them Musar, and they didn't like it. And one of the tax collectors challenged this Rav, "How dare you be Mevazani Barabim? How dare you? You have no right to what you're doing." And the Rav had Chalisha Sadas. He said, maybe he's right. Maybe I've gone too far in publicly rebuking the people of the community. So he took a Goral Hagra, and he did it three times. And each time, the Pasuk told him very, very clearly that he's doing the right thing. That one Pasuk, I don't have all the Pasuk, I can't remember. But at least he recorded, we'll come to how it's done in a few moments, but the point is, he recorded in very great detail what happened. The story is recorded. There was a famine. There was a drought. He gave Musar. The people did not take his Musar well. He had Chalish Sadas. He took a girl Agra to ask Hashem if it's proper, his Hachag, what he's doing, giving the people Musar in such a way. And he did the girl three times. He described how he did it. And he writes the psukim which came from the girl, which were clear as day that Hashem was pleased with his behavior, and this derech was correct. This event took place 200 years before the Gra. And the technique that he describes in this story is exactly pretty much the way the Gra, what we call the Goral Hagra. So one thing we learned from this story, not everything that they say is the name of the Gra, is from the Gra. For some reason, the Gra, he made this concept, this technique more popular. And in fact, what's very interesting is in all the writings of the Gra, they all mention this, all the things you read on the Goral Hagra, in all of the writings of the Gra. There are a lot of things about the Gra. The Gra wrote quite a bit. Gra Perish Shulchan Aruch and the Gra, yeah, it's a Perish and Kolter Kula Kemat. The Gra nowhere in any of his writings makes any mention of this thing called the Gra, of making a Gra, nowhere. And even the history that was written about the Gra, there's almost no record of any all the biographers of the Gra describing the Gra doing this Gra HaGra. We know this only from tradition. We know Rav Chaim Volozhin was a Talmid of the Gra. We know the Netziv. And we know that it's Siv's son, and the Siv was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin. And we know that Rav Chaim Berlin was the son of the Netziv. And it seems that the Rav Chaim Berlin taught the Chofetz Chaim, the Gra HaGra. The Chofetz Chaim, we have many stories of the Chofetz Chaim did the Gra HaGra. And the Chofetz Chaim taught it to Rav Eliyahu Lapyan. I think he also taught it, I'm not sure, have Rav Dessler got to know it either. Rav Dessler learned from Rav Eliyahu Lapyan, or Rav Dessler learned it from Chofetz Chaim. But there is this certain connection from Chofetz Chaim to Chaim Berlin, the Netziv, Chaim Volozhin, and the Gra. But the Gra obviously was not his own. The Gra himself received this tradition from predecessors, and that is clear from the story. It already dated back the time of the Beis Yosef. Now, exactly how you do the Gra, there are different versions. There are different techniques, different traditions of how it's done. The first question is, you have to have a special type of chumash. There's a question, do you use a chumash, or do you use what's called a chaf dalet? What do we call a chaf dalet? Very similar, Tanakh. They're chaf dalet, but in ancient times they did not call a Tanakh. Today you call it Tanakh. They say to the person, give me a chaf dalet. They look at you like you're crazy. Give me a chaf dalet. But if you go back 200 years and you say to a person, give me a Tanakh, they look at you like you're from Mars. The way they call the Tanakh 200 years ago was a chaf dalet. So in the early writings of describing the Gra HaGra, they referred to a chaf dalet. Now in those days, it wasn't like today, art scroll, you have one column, the chaf dalets had two columns. Okay, so the traditional sefer to use a chumash that has two columns on a page, not like our chumashim, which today only have one. There's a question, there are different traditions. Do you use a sefer that has only chumash, chamish chumash Torah, or do you use a chafdal, the whole Tanakh? Obviously, Rabbi Yemel Yashiv used one that's a chafdal, because if he came out with a pasuk and shoftim, it's not from a chamish chumash Torah. There's even another tradition that you don't even use a chumash or a Tanakh, you use only a sefer Tehillim to do the Gra HaGra. The way it's described by the person who lived in the time of the Beis Yosef is he takes a chumash, only a chumash, not a Tanakh, just a chumash, and he opens up one hand on the pasuk, the thumb on the pasuk, Ze Sefer Toldo Sa'adam, opens up to that pasuk towards the end of Bereshis, not in Bereshis Bara, and he puts his pinky on a pasuk, I don't remember the pasuk in Hazinu, at the end of the Sefer, and then he uses his fingers, a pinky over here, a thumb over here, and then you use your fingers, and you somehow slide them, and you randomly pick a page. And you pick a page, and then there's seven columns. You count seven columns. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
What happens if the
meat
slips out?
Do it again. Okay, then you get to the column. You go down, I think, seven parakim. You go to the top, you go down seven parakim. And then you go seven psukim. Seven lines, seven words, seven letters. And you come to the eighth letter. You come to the eighth letter, and then you look for the next pasuk that begins with that letter. Okay, something along these lines. There are a lot of traditions of how to do it. And then that pasuk, you find that letter, and then that letter, you look for the next pasuk, and the pasuk that has that letter, that is the pasuk that is the message telling you what to do in your dilemma. That's just one method. There's another method I saw where you don't go put your finger on the first pasuk and you put your finger on the last pasuk and you mish, but rather you move, you have a chavdal, a sefer chavdal, and you go back and forth seven times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, seven. Now we begin. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7. Seven. Now we go down seven parakim. Seven psukim, seven lines, seven words, seven letters. Oh, eighth letter, we now look for the next pasuk. Okay, I have no idea. Something along these lines. Many claim that today the art has been lost. No one really knows. The record keeping has not been too good. No one wants to give away the big secret, and no one really knows the precise method which we have, which will work. Okay, there are also many. All the gedolim say, yeah. Psokli pusik. Psok, you're a child. Psokli pusukech. Mordechai. Mordechai did not know what to do. Mordechai, he asked the child, and the child told him, "Utsu etze visufer davadav." Those psukim we say after Aleinu are psukim which came from children. That was like a girl hagra. That was like a girl in a chanami. So there is something to it. Now the only problem is, unfortunately, the details. You have to be a baal madrego to be worried that the Shparuch will be willing to communicate with you through girl hagra. And in fact, the people that did the girl hagra were very, very big tzaddikim. And in fact, to do it, I think Rabbi Eliezer Lapyan, he would fast. First thing is, he would fast even for a few days. He only did it on a Monday or Thursday, which is a Zman of Eser Otzon. They would, before they would do it, they would learn the Hasmad the Rabbah for a couple of hours. They would say Tehillim. They would light candles. They would go to Mikvah. They would give Tzedakah. Do you know how much Hachana is required in order to be Zohar to have that when you flip the page, you don't think you flip the pages, it's going to happen? It's a joke. For one of us to do this, this is not a derech. These are very holy people. They were tzaddikim, and even though they were very holy tzaddikim, just as they were, but they made very great hachana. A lot of preparation went in before they would actually go and do the girl hagra. There are many stories. He presents in many stories of people tzaddikim. They made the girl hagra, and the pasuk was of Yitzhak Zev Salveishik, one of the brisker roughs. He made the girl hagra. A very important question, and he made the girl hagra. And the pasuk came out, Tomim Tia Im Hashem Elokecha. Which basically, when Hashem is telling him, don't do this. Okay, don't do this. And there are many, he has a lot of documented stories just like that, where tzaddikim made a girl hagra, and the girl hagra told them, don't do this. Tamim tiyam Hashem Elokeichem. That is probably, let me tell you about the most famous girl hagra. He presents it here in the article, and I don't know where I read the rebuttal to this girl hagra. It's when Rav Aaron Cutler had a dilemma where to go. During the war, he had a dilemma, should he go to Eretz Yisrael or should he go to America? Rav Moshe was trying to persuade him to come to America. He should come to America, but he really wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael after the war, after he was saved with Shanghai and the whole story. As before Shanghai, whatever, I don't know all the details, but he had a dilemma. And the room and the story goes, he took a girl hagra. Okay, I don't know if I have the pasuk here. There are different versions of the story, and the pasuk says something like that Aaron went to greet Moshe in the desert. It's the pasuk in the Torah, something along those lines. Aaron went to greet Moshe in the desert, which he interpreted as Moshe, as Rav Moshe Feinstein, because Rav Moshe Feinstein was trying to persuade him to come to America, and America then was known, the code for America was the Midbar. This was the code word for America, so it was a clear indication that he should come to America. That's one version. There's another version of the story where it says the pasuk something had to do with the Vat Hatzal. The reason why he wanted to come to America was not to spread Torah. That was not his primary objective. People think his primary objective was to come to America, he's going to be married with Torah. The primary objective he came to America was the Vat Hatzalah. He came to America because he felt he can do more to save the people that were being killed in the Holocaust in Europe. Going to Eretz Yisrael wouldn't be able to.
He came here in the 30s.
He came before, but I don't know. He went back and forth. I don't know the details, but that's the way it's recorded. That's why he came to America, because in America he can do something, and Eretz Yisrael, nothing he can do. Was then he came to America, so what am I going to do here? So then we have to be Marbitz Torah. He also made a yeshiva. He also established Torah in America. But the primary objective in the pasuk that they quote as part of the Girl Hagra is a pasuk Lahitzi Asivos B'nei Shal Mimitzrayim. I don't know the exact pasuk, but the pasuk was something along the lines, which is an indication that you have to come to America, because America is the place where you'll succeed in extracting the Tzivos Hashem from Eretz Mitzrayim, which meant from what he interpreted from the inferno, from what was going on in the Holocaust. Okay, this is classic. I remember hearing this the first time I heard about the Girl Hagra. I was a little kid. I heard this story of Aaron Cutler, and I remember my jaw dropped. Wow. unbelievable of Ruach HaKodesh, the Rav Aaron called the girl HaGrod to go to Herzl, to go to America, and he go to Pasek, Tishago greet Moshe in the Midbar. I recently, I think within this past week, read, I don't know where I read, I thought it was in this article, but it's obviously not, because I went through very carefully, maybe I just missed it somewhere, that if Malkiel Kohler said, or Malkiel Kohler is Rav Aaron Kohler's grandson, he's now the Rosh Yeshiva of Lakewood, he says, this story is a Baba Meisa. And they also quote Aaron Kohler. Aaron Kohler is also a grandson of Rav Aaron Kohler. He is the CEO, you know, of Lakewood, chief executive officer of Lakewood. He runs the financial, the money end of Lakewood. And he also says that in the family we all know that this story is Dvarim B'Talem. It never happened. Lohayev Lenivra, whoever made up the story really got away with it. It's not true. It just goes to show all these stories that we hear.
Yeah.
Really, you have to be very careful to question if the story is true. But that's the story. That's the story they say about.
So now, it's just with the Babish.
What?
They want to get an asset from their ever. They open the sefer and.
Okay, they said there are the other forms. Look, they say about the Chofetz Chaim. They do. So if you read the biography of the Chofetz Chaim, when the Chofetz Chaim was very, very old, when it was just the tshuva right before he died, he wasn't 100%. He was in another world. He was godly almost. And people, it was a very difficult time. People came to him and they asked him questions. And they say about the Chofetz Chaim that he sat with a chumash. So they say, read the biography, he sat with a chumash, mamish, b'seif yamav. People came and asked him questions, what to do, war, where to go, this. And he would flip a chumash. He didn't do the girl hagra. He just flipped the chumash and put his, without even looking, put his finger on a pasuk. And every time he did that, it was a clear answer to what the person would ask them. So, but the Chofetz Chaim already was 100 years old. He was already like they said, a Malach Elokim. He was in a different. He didn't do the girl Hagra back and forth seven times, and so this whole thing over here. There are a lot of stories. Look, Mordechai in the Megillah. Chazal, it's a Gemara. He's walking in the street. He tells a child, "Sukli psukich, tell me the pasuk. What are you learning today?" Unzu eitzav visufar davar davar v'lo yakom ki manukel. What more do you want than that? That's also a very high level girl Hagra. So, okay, yeah.
Having Chumash distant is not as we shall know the Kishuv.
Oh, that's exactly part of the point. Tamim Tia Meshem Lok. Tamim Tia. This is not. This is not something.
Don't try this at home.
I'm trying it
Now there is one thing I came across about the girl Hagra, which I found to be very interesting. That there is very interesting when you go to ask a shaila from a rav. When you go to ask a shaila from a rav, do you have to listen to his psak? I have a shaila. I have a shaila. Should I go to law school or should I go to medical school? I know people that went to a different Rosh Yeshiva. I know a girl, she went to her Rav, who also was a very big Rosh Yeshiva, and she went to him asking if she should go to medical school or to law school. She had a real dilemma. She wanted to hear what the Rav had to say. And her father knew that he would tell her to go to law school. Strange story. He knew where he was noita, and the father very much wanted his daughter to go to medical school. This girl told me the story herself. So her father warned her, when you go to ask him the question, the girl insisted she's going to ask the rabbi the question. You're not going to ask a psak. You're just going to be a shoyl eitza. You don't have to listen to what he tells you. You just hear what he has to say and you listen to his opinion, but it's not the final word. You're not going to him, das Torah, this is the way it has to be. Just go. That is a very interesting question that opens up a question with regard to every time you ask a shiloh to a Rav. When you ask a shiloh to a Rav, the fact that you're asking the question, does that mean you must abide by his decision? Or no, I hear what you have to say. I'm going to go for a second opinion. It's a complicated, it's even a halachic shaila. Is it also, is it mutter? We'll talk about end of life issues. I want to hear what you have to say, but I'm not necessarily going to listen to you. I'm going to go to other rabbanim. I'm going to make the final decision, and I know whatever decision I make, I yeshal me lismach. But I want to get a certain sense of what's going on. There's a very big debate among commentators. What degree are you mechuyif to listen to the decision of of your Rav. So I just caught my attention that in this Sefer, when he goes through everything about the Garl Hagra, he mentions from different Gedolim, when they did the Garl Hagra, they warned people, I don't remember all the names of different the stories, different Gedolim, that if you're going to take the Garl Hagra, in order for it to work, in order that it should be effective, that you should be zecha to siyata d'shmaya, that Hashem will give you guidance, you have to accept what it says. If the answer is clear, you have a Garl Hagra, and the answer is clear as day, no, you don't have to go search through the Mefarshim, you have to be willing from the very beginning, accept upon yourself, I'm going to accept the answer. If you're not going to accept the answer, then it's not going to work. You have to have that conviction, you're going to listen to what it says. I have a dilemma. Should I go to America? Should I go to Eretz Yisrael? I don't know. I'll do the Garl Hagra. I'll see what it says, but I'll make the final decision. You're not going to be zocha to the siyata d'shmaya. You have to put your faith in the Garl Hagra. That's heavy. That's a whole different league. I don't think people today look at the Garl Hagra like that. No one today wants to be told what to do. We live in a world where, you know, we are the boys, right? We are the whole Garl Hagra is a very bizarre type of Garl Hagra. We are the boys. Whatever, let's not go there. But that is one interesting thing which caught my attention.
Well, how did they find them?
What, the boys?
Yes, yeah.
The boys, they were soldiers. They were soldiers, civilian unit, they were civilians?
Volunteers.
They were searching and they came across, they came to a field and they saw that there was some...
Something
was out of place. And they investigated and they found them. 100%. That's a tremendous chesed. 100%. You can't, they can go on for years. Everyone is saying that it's a very big chesed that Kadosh Baruch Hu did that they were found. Because something like this, it could have gone on for a lot longer, for months, for years, and even never could have been found. The fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael to give closure to find is a very, very great chesed that we can't take for granted. Absolutely. Okay, so there are a lot of others. I can't remember. Let me just see if I could say some other interesting thing. He has a lot of...
So he's busy with a big war in the Palestine.
It was one story with the Chofetz Chaim. I think it was the Chofetz Chaim when they took Earl Hagra. And the answer was pretty clear. It was clear. And the person said to the Chofetz Chaim, do it again. Do it again. Further clarification. Chofetz Chaim says, I don't want to be matriach, the Ribbono Shel Olam. When you take a Garl Hagra, I've heard this, we learned this today in Iyov, you menakeh mizchu Yosef. You're asking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give you a special opening, a special window into like it's a nes nister. In his Hagdamah to this Sefer, he says, in this world we live in a world, there's black and white. There's teva, nature, and then there's nisim gluyim, revealed miracles. But it's not black and white. There's gray matter. The gray matter is nisim nistarim, hidden miracles. The Garl Hagra is begeder a nes nister. What's the open of a pasuk here? Then you move back a few psukim, and you have a pasuk telling you what to do. It's together a nes nister. If you're asking Kadosh Baruch Hu for a nes nister, the Gedolim warn you: being menakem mizchu Yosef, you're deducting some of your life savings because you ask basically for a nes nister. That's not the way Kadosh Baruch Hu made the world. Hashem made the world to have a nes goli, to live in the derech hateva. Okay, one last yisod which is a very nice idea. The only people that are roy to make a Garl Hagra only Talmidei Chacham that are heavily steeped in Torah. And he gives an example of this. Rav Shiskal, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Rav Shiskal once went I think it says it was a Satmar Rav, Rav Yol Teitelbaum. And he asked him a question that there are Mekubalim in Eretz Yisrael that he knows are not Talmidei Chachamim. Not. They're good people. And they're able to bepoil all of these hocus pocus. They're able to... You need something they're able to get. They're able to pull the strings. Is there anything to them? Should a person... they know they're good people, but they're not Talmidei Chacham. So he told them the following one. So it says, when a person, a child is in his mother's womb, there's a malach that teaches him Kol HaTorah Kula.
And it also says, and when he's in his mother's womb, there's a ner doylek, there's a candle that's lit, and with that ner doylek, the child is able to be tsoifer, right? The Gemara says this. It's a Gemara. A child is v'rech, and the Malach teaches him kol atarakula, and the soifa is roya misoifa miat soifa. Child is born, and when the child is born, the Malach puts his hand on his lip, right underneath his nose, and he forgets all the learning. So the question is, what about the koyach, the ner doylek? It doesn't say anywhere that the candle goes out. Only thing it says, when a person is born, he forgets his learning, the Malach comes, puts his hand on his lip, and he forgets his learning. Okay, you forgot your learning, but you still are able to be tzoyfe, misoyfe oylam, v'yat tzoyfe. Doesn't say anywhere that the candle is extinguished. So Rav Teitelbaum said, he says, it doesn't need to say it. Because a person is only zocha to be tzoyfe, misoyfe oylam, v'yat tzoyfe, through the koach of Torah. As long as the child knows kol haTorah kula, he's in the rechamim of the Malach is teaching him Torah. Memela the ner is dolek misayif alam yat sayif. But if the koyach of Torah is taken away, it's a given that you no longer have the ability to be tsayif and misayif alam yat sayif. So if you come to a person that claims they can be tsayif, they can look in the crystal ball, and they can be tzayfeh, misayfeh oylem v'yatzayfeh, and tell you what your future, predict your future. The people say they read your palm. They're erlicha people today. They do the palm reading, and they look at your forehead, they can read you, look at your handwriting, and they'll be tzayfeh, misayfeh oylem v'yatzayfeh. But it's not through the koyach of Torah. They're not heavily steeped in Torah. It's a fraud. It's a lie. Of course not. Of course it's not fair. So he's saying, no, so he used this story as he's very anti-girl hagra, this person who wrote the Sefer, obviously. He used this as that, they're not anti, he's saying that if you're not on a madrega of knowing kolat or kula, you have no business getting involved in a girl hagra. A girl hagra requires a certain sanctity and a certain connection to the Torah. Rav Chaim said, Rav Chaim's father, Stipler, who knew Mamash, Stipler was the Stipler. He was. Stipler said, no girl hagra. Chazanish was against the girl hagra. A lot of the Gedolim were against the girl hagra. Chavetz Chaim was very pro. Chavetz Chaim made the girl hagra all the time. We have a lot of students of Chavetz Chaim, and Rav Dessler and Rav Yan. Okay, so you have Yesh V'Yesh. We'll leave it with that.